Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Review It Yourself. My name is Sean, your host, hostess with the mostess. I've been told recently to introduce myself, and it's now 2024, and, you know, new year, new me. So I thought I'd really kick off and think, you know, what can I do to get the listeners in? Because Christ knows I need them. I thought I'll just drag Ryan back, but I've brought him back on a good film because I was thinking we've done disgusting little Arnie films on this podcast. I think we've done, apart from Terminator 3, I don't think I've done an Arnie film, and that is a disgrace. So let's rectify it. The Sixth Day, awesome film. Ryan Walker from the Walk the Line podcast, everyone's favourite Johnny Cash podcast, he hates that.
I hate it so much. Every time I always get guests come into me and they always actually send me a little blurb and they say, I caught up with your podcast, I'm such a big fan of Johnny Cash as well. And I'm like, fuck off. It just sounded cool. Not actually, don't like it.
I've had one before that was like, hi guys, we really love your podcast. I'm like, there's only me, you dozy suds. Like, at least one email, even had the old podcast email on it, like somebody else's.
Oh my God.
And I was like, that's just laziness.
That's lazy, like, marketing. Sack your publicist, is. Whatever it is.
I know, disgraceful.
But always good to be here, Sean. Thanks for having me back on, buddy. I love coming on this show and chatting absolute shit, which means I don't need to do anything apart from chatting shit, which I normally do anyway.
Yeah, so Johnny Cash jokes aside, Ryan, on his podcast, he interviews everyone and anyone, literally from musicians to nutcases, the lot. He's nodding his head. and he, in his podcast, he essentially has to drive it forward. So he has to push it forward a lot of the time and ask the questions and sit back and listen. I wonder what that's like. And so this is a bit of a relaxing one for him. So, what'd you say about this film? I mean, a few facts before we start off. Released 7th of November 2000. Barely scraped back its budget. I think $88 million, dollars. I think it scraped back about 96. So it's what they like, a box office failure. But
see, because Arnie's in it, he's there's two of them. Does he get double pay?
He got paid $25 million, but I don't think he got paid twice.
Fucking hell.
I mean, to be fair, if I get paid $25 million, euros, I don't know, I don't care what, I'm not going to be going, can I have some more?
Maybe someone gave me a fucking 10 or 100 quid, I'd be like, thanks, buddy. I'd be appreciating that. Call a million, fucking hell.
Yeah, that's a good start. Welcome to 2024, everybody. It was filmed in North Hollywood, which is the nickname of Vancouver, which I didn't know. So thanks to Dan Michaels from Canada for that one. It's directed by Roger. Oh, I've got a few. I've checked a few facts with friends.
I've seen your Twitter. I've seen your Twitter. I know what facts you're kind of come out with.
You probably did. this film was directed by Roger Spottiswoode, who directed Tomorrow Never Dies, the Bond film, and actually passed on filming The World Is Not Enough to direct this film, which is fair enough, I suppose.
I don't know. The World Is Not Enough is not exactly the best film ever, is it?
No, it's not, but it's, I mean, don't get me in a Bond, Ryan, because I'll be here for like 45
minutes. He's got a hissy fit. I can see his face already. Look, he's gone bright red. He's got a hissy fit. It's going to erupt in a minute.
I'm podcasting for like 6 weeks. I've built up, you know, there's rage.
He's probably sitting at home with his microphone in his hand, watching telly, run the family. He's like, Sean, shut the fuck up. But this is not right. What do you think about this? You know, proper podcasting. Everyone is like, get him back in the game. Get him back well. Get him back in the game. He's having withdrawal symptoms.
Is my audio okay? Sean, we're sat in the fucking front room. Shut up.
Mum, can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay? You're on mute. You're on mute. I'm not fucking talking.
Oh, God, I'd put people on mute if I could.
A great superhero, wouldn't it? That'd be a great superpower.
Yeah.
Chucking. You know the little remote control from Click? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bullshit, man. Carl Pilkington. That's another superhero I quite like. Just flies into meetings. So it starts off, the film starts off with facts about Dolly the Sheep, cloned in 1996, and it says the film's essentially in the near future. I've read a few bits saying it's 2015, which just even more fucking depressing to read that. But I tell you what I really like in this film, I do like the world building. in terms of the way they show things, so like the holograms of things, the fact that you can clone your pet, you can clone organs, you can clone fish, you can clone like wheat, I think you see at one point.
Yeah,
so I quite like all that. I quite like that. I'll tell you what we'll do, because it's always good fun. I'll read the synopsis, because I always feel like a slightly... Part of me thinks, why would you listen to a podcast if you hadn't seen the film? But I'm guessing maybe there are people who might for this one. Because I don't know about you, but I think this is... The amount of people I've asked about this film, because it's one of my like, I love this film a bit. And I've, you know, when you say, have you seen The Sick Day? And they go, oh no, what's that about? And you're like, oh, it's Arnie gets cloned, and people are like, oh no, I've never even heard of it. I'm like, you're missing out.
What you should do, you should get in touch with the guy who directed it and the cinema or the production company who created it and say, we are doing this on the podcast. This is an advertising platform for you guys to get more watches on your 23-year-old film and get it back into the mainstream. Give me some money, you sons of bitches.
I mean, I'd love to have that kind of influence.
Fuck it. But, yeah. Just go back to it and go, it'll be like, no, who the fuck are you? Well, I'm Sean. Have you not heard of me? I have a very popular podcast on Spotify.
And I'm also a spy. Yeah, no, come on. You like your spies, Spottiswood.
Yeah, exactly.
So The Sick Day, prepare for a high-tech sci-fi blast with double the Arnie and double the action. Sounds a bit dirty, doesn't it?
Double the Arnie, double the cheesy one-liners.
Oh, yes. In the not-too-distant future, when cloning plants, pets and human organs is accepted, a sinister corporation has begun illegally duplicating entire human beings. One night, Adam Gibson, Schwarzenegger, old-fashioned family man and decorated fighter pilot, comes home to find his perfect life has been stolen by his clone. Suddenly plunged into a sinister... Have you sinister again? That's lazy. Suddenly plunged into a sinister world of murder, corruption and high-tech deception. I don't know who wrote this, but I think they were bigging it up a bit. He is torn from his family as relentless assassins desperately try to kill him to bury the evidence. It's a bit much, isn't it? But this time they cloned the wrong man and Adam will risk anything to reclaim his family and life. From the director of Tomorrow Never Dies, The Sick Day also stars powerhouse actors Robert Duvall, gone in 60 seconds, Deep Impact, right. Fair enough, and Michael Rapaport, Deep Blue Sea, Copland. Yeah, some decent special features as well. But the tagline for this one is from the Bible, Genesis. Is it verse 1, chapter 31? I can never get it right. Or is it chapter 1, verse, whatever it is. And on the sick day, God created man. I realised the minute I asked, wrong person.
I'm scared to go to church in case I bust any flames, you know what I mean? It's dangerous for me. It's like a health hazard.
Well... Yeah, so that's your lot for that one. So that's the synopsis of the film.
What's the bad guy called?
Right. Here's the trivia for you. And thank you to Lasse, my German correspondent, for this one. Drucker is German for printer that copies things. Ah. Michael Drucker is the guy, is the villain. He's played by somebody. Tony Goldwyn, who was recently in Oppenheimer and has been in all sorts of like TV show. Every bugger was in that. It's not.
He was the voice of Tarzan.
Was he?
He was the voice of Tarzan back in the Disney smash hit Tarzan. He was the voice of it.
Look at Ryan bringing the trivia.
I've been doing my homework. I don't know why I know that sort of shit. You know, I mean, when someone you just see something, you go, oh, that's cool, but it just pops, sticks in your head.
Yeah. Well, do you know what one of those was for me? Have you ever seen the film Awakenings with Robert De Niro and Robin Williams?
I have not.
Okay. Well, there's one of the nurses in that is played by Julie Kavner, who I watched and thought her voice sounds familiar. Couldn't place it. She voices Marge Simpson in The Simpsons, and it like.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Does she actually have the Marge Simpson voice as well? She's got a bit.
It's pretty much the same. Yeah, it's pretty much the same.
Oh yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
So it starts off with me, Johnny Phoenix. An American football player, their version of football, not proper football.
Yeah, American football.
Yeah, he literally takes one for the team. It's actually, apparently, it's XL American football, which is like...
I know this one. I know that. I just sit down. I'm going to drop some knowledge on you about the XFL.
Just I'll grab my coffee, go on.
The XFL was actually made from Vince McMahon from WWE wrestling fame. Basically, what he wanted to do is do something different from the NHL, not the NHL, the fucking... NFL. So he created the XFL back in the 1999 and 2000. And basically what it is, it's exactly the same, but different rules, it's more fast paced and aggressive. And it didn't work out very well, to be quite honest with him. And he shut it down after 2001, I think it was. But 20 years later, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has got his grubby little hands on it and he's revamped it and he's restarted it last year. So it's now back in play again. XFL. Football League, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it stopped after COVID, didn't it? And it stopped again, I think.
There you go. There you go.
Was what I read. So, although, I mean, I don't think Dwayne Johnson has grubby little hands. I mean, he might have grubby hands. I don't think they're little.
He's got massive man hands.
Massive hands, like.
He could cuddle me all day long. God damn, the beautiful bastard.
Although, seeing him in the live action Moana is going to be pretty weird, isn't it? I don't know how they're going to do that.
He's going to have to fucking double down on his steroid intake, isn't he? He's going to double up his dose to get the roids up his arms so he can get that big.
Legal disclaimer, that was just a joke. We do not believe Dwayne Johnson now or has ever taken drugs. Well, I don't know why I expected these to be. I don't know why I've done notes like this was going to be a normal episode. Like, I was going to really go through and do a really good review. It's just not going to happen, to be fair. I mean, there's some people out there who are no doubt listening thinking, really? This film? But I think because it's seen as kind of a bit of a dumb action film now. It kind of is, but on the other hand, I love it, mate. I think it's class. I think the world building is
the best
great.
Films ever.
Yeah. And it's got that real, like, late 90s, early 2000s feel where, I don't know, it just has the right amount of, like, silliness and cheese. And yeah, the CGI is not quite there at times, but you don't care. They were still doing a lot of stuff for real, where he, like, nicks his own van and stuff like that. Oh, by the way, a minivan is what we'd call a people carrier, because I don't. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. You carry.
It's one of the only times where we have been more literal than them. So there you go. Love you, America.
Yeah. What were you saying before? Most of your listeners are from America. I don't think that's going to work out anymore.
Oh, they love it. They love it. They love admonishing themselves. So yeah. One more person is not going to matter, is it? They actually love it. Michael Rooker. I don't know who the fuck that is. Oh, yeah, I do. Drucker's right-hand man is the guy out of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yondu.
I've never seen them. I still haven't seen them.
Mate, you need to watch the Guardians. They're the best film Marvel's done.
Yeah, I've been told. It's Yondu. Not a high bar, though, is it?
In the Guardians of the Galaxy, he's blue, and he's got a big, giant red fin.
Is that a euphemism?
No, that's actually what he's got. And he's got a grey stubble, which looks really weird on blue skin.
What was he in Endgame? Was he in Infinity War? I think I've seen him in something.
No, he was in the Guardians ones.
He
was also in The Walking Dead.
I only ever saw the first series of that when.
He was in the first series of The Walking Dead. He was a crazy guy, wasn't he?
He's been in quite a few. He's one of them people, like, you don't really know his name, but you've seen his face in fucking everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Arnie plays Adam Gibson, and Wendy Crewson plays his wife. Like, I thought they had really good chemistry. There's some really good chemistry throughout this film. Like, Robert Duvall, and we'll come to that actress later on, but, like, who played Catherine, his wife, like, she was really good. I think they got the chemistry right between, like, the couples, and then you get, like, a good banter back and forth between Adam and Hank,
The thing is, the actors in there are actually really solid actors, and they don't do a bad performance. I don't think it's like there's not many of them actually do a really shit performance, because it's like the earlier on in their careers, because remember, it's like 20 years ago, so they're like quite early on. But then you look at them and go, oh shit, he was in this, and he was in that, and he was in this. You're like, fuck, these guys went on to bigger and better things, and that's all because of Arnie. We salute you, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, goddamn. So Wendy Crewson was in Bicentennial Man, another film I love, which I need to do at some point, Air Force One, What Lies Beneath, and apparently she's best known in America for a drama called The Doctor. Never heard of it. I'm sure it was good. Adam's a bit of a Luddite in terms of he's not really up with the technology. He still shaves his own face. He doesn't use like a laser shaver. He's a bit reluctant about getting his pet cloned. Whereas his mate and I think Yeah, Pat, will you fucking stop it with the politics? You're getting right on my tits. Michael Rappaport plays Hank Morgan, who's, I think, Pat owns the business with him, like corner of Double X Charter.
One thing that I didn't like about Arnold, right, in the first 10 minutes of it, I didn't like him because he is annoyingly nice. He's running about going, hi, everyone, blah, 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 giving all this. And I'm like, I don't like you. I want Moody Arnold. I want Moody guy who's like, he's running about going, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I love you guys. It's going to be great fun, blah, blah, blah. Fuck off. Did my head in.
He was just stretching his acting chops, his muscles. He was just branching out.
He's acting prowess. He's just annoying, isn't he?
I see what you mean, though. It was a bit...
Not over the top.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't last long. But maybe because we're not used to seeing that from him, are we, really? We're used to...
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. Used to see him getting depressed and shooting people in the face and going, stick around.
Yeah, it's true.
Get out now.
It's not bad. See, I can't do an Arnie, so...
Got to get involved, mate. Got to get involved.
Whereas his mate Hank is very much up for the technology, he has a virtual girlfriend. Hank sleeping on the floor again? That's so cute.
Yeah, I'd have so much fun if I had one of them, I tell you. I'd never leave the house. I'd stay at home. Like, come on, darling, let's get involved.
That's disgusting. I can't do Arnie. I felt fingers going for my flies.
I know, yeah, my zipper. I can't believe it's disgusting. I don't judge Arnold. Don't you dare judge. I don't judge you and your perfect family. Got myself a fucking girlfriend that does naughty things to me.
Yeah, I love the bit where he says to him as well, he's like, hey, if my brain tells me there's a beautiful woman on my lap, who am I to argue?
Exactly. You know what I mean? If that was in real life, there'd be so many single women out there. It would be all the guys would be like, ah, fuck you. I've got all fucking what's-her-face at home. You know what I mean? Dolores or something. Like that. I don't know. Make up a girl, pretend girlfriend. Never leave the house. Online shopping. You know, you could work from home. Virtual job done. God, that'd kill society.
You could clean up though. The ones that could actually talk to women, you'd clean up.
I know.
All the others, not clean up in that way. You'd clean up because you like they're all at home on the little chairs. You go out and about. Did you? What if the? No. What? I mean, just yeah. Well, I mean, do you think there's a woman version? I mean.
They're going to have to, aren't they? You know what I mean? These women always try to get fucking... They try to ruin our fun by getting, oh, we want equal rights. We want a man guy. Oh, fair enough. Have a man guy. But we're going to make him fat and ugly and he's got glassy and all mental and all that sort of stuff. So he doesn't know. He's got a really small willy. So fuck you.
Lovely. So Adam starts off really nice. You know, he's having a good day. It's his birthday as well, just to add to the, you know, the schmaltz and the sweetness. And then his dog dies. So it doesn't last very long. I love the fucking shit, Oliver. Why did you have to die?
Why did you have to die? I love that. You can't help it. It's fucked.
I love the fact that the wife rings up and she's like a video call, like, oh, Adam. These are the impressions I can do. Oh, Adam. He's like, what is wrong? He's like, we had to put Oliver down. What's the matter? He wasn't even that sick. This is dreadful. That sounded like something else.
Is the dog sick? It's not a tumor. Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Jeez. Who names the dog Oliver for a start?
I've got a mate, right? My old, I just talk about pet names, right? And I've got my old football coach used to have a cat, and he called his cat Graham. And I'm like, you can't give your cat people's names. That's weird. It's like Graham. You're like, Graham.
Yeah, to be fair, my mate, I've got another one. My mate's got a dog, and it's called Colin. Can you imagine shouting that? Yeah, I know. That's true.
The dog runs off. You go, Colin, Colin, and there's like five guys. But what? What's the matter, mate?
Have you lost your dad? No, it's my dog.
That's my dog. What the fuck?
Yeah. Out for a nice walk with Colin. Who's Colin? Are you cheating? I mean, no, it's the dog.
I know, yes. So much fun. So much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the Double X Charter helicopter like plane vehicles. I can't remember Whispercrafts are they call them? I think once
something like that. Yeah, Whispers or something. Yeah. I think they were called. Yeah, helicopter hybrid planes.
Yeah, pretty cool. CGI is a bit ropey at times, but we'll take it. I do think they did actually build them though, because I've watched the special features this years ago, and the static models on the ground. I think they at least built one.
Do you know what? I think, mm-hmm. I was going to say, do you know what, wind me up there, just to kind of jump in a little bit there, just to, is, you know how he's got the remote control for one of them? And mm-hmm. I'm like, why don't you just fly in one? There's two of you and there's two helicopters. Why do you need to go in with your mate and fly one remote control? Why don't, is that just like, is that, that's foreshadowing, isn't it? Or something else. But just jump in that one.
Well, it's good because they get the, oh, is it here already? Or yeah, whatever it is. He gets the remote control thing. And then I think it's, he's just like, well, it's like playing a video game with your mate. You want to be sat next to your mate to see, you know, the light die in his eyes a little bit when you beat him. So I think that's kind of the point, isn't it? But I do like that bit where he's like, yes, we can fly four of these, just two of us now. And I'm like, four of you can fly, two of you can fly fucking four of them?
I know, yeah. Like, that's, well, one in each hand. That's multitasking, yeah. You know what I mean? I tell you what. Give it some in each hand. Give it some.
Yeah, men in the future have really advanced themselves. Because I couldn't multitasking that. So we have, as we said earlier, we've got repets, so pets get cloned. And I did laugh when Hank said his cat fell out of the condo window. I was like, oof. Oh, yeah, but by the way, I probably should have warned people at the start. There's lots of pet deaths in this one. I'm not asked. I laugh most of the time, but there's a lot of pet deaths in it.
Is there all the pet deaths?
Well, yeah, like out of screen type thing.
Oh, yeah. You don't see it happening, like, you know what I mean?
No. It's not like I Am Legend.
Oh, fuck. Oh, don't. Oh, no, can't handle that.
Well. My episode's just gone out today. Check it out. So the blood test for drugs and alcohol and the eye test is for a client called Mr. Drucker, who's very, very well connected. Think of kind of like a Bill Gates or somebody like that, you know, very much has to check the security of everywhere they're going, check the people that are taking them in case they're drunk or drugs or extremists, as we see, comes into play later on. And this is where the film kind of begins, in essence, because or the chain of events starts in that Hank swaps with Adam so that Adam could go and enjoy his birthday. I was like, enjoy his birthday? He's going to get his dead dog fucking cloned. It's not like he's not going out for a sneaky pint or an illegal stogie, whatever he calls it, because tobacco is illegal in this time. So yeah,
the future does not seem fun.
No. So Drucker asks, so this is an interesting bit, because I've never noticed this before, and this is what happens sometimes when you're watching it to like make notes on it and analyze it a bit more, is that Drucker asks for this. So he's in the helicopter machine with who he thinks is Adam, obviously Tank, and they're going on this excursion for like skiing.
Because they swapped places, didn't they? That's right.
I did mention that, but we've chatted about shit in the middle.
I know.
And then, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you won't hear half of that. But yeah, so he swapped with Adam. So Hank, obviously the pilot, they get shot as soon as they land by Tripp, who was a like previous client. But as they're on the way there, Drucker on his phone, because they have to sign NDAs and all that stuff, he asks for the Speaker of the House. I say like, no, I want to speak to the Speaker of the House, which I don't know, it's kind of like the Chancellor Exchequer if you're over here type thing. And he said, I want to speak to him, and we don't quite know why, but because obviously he gets shot. But then I liked later on, skipping forward a couple of scenes, where he gives a speech with Dr. Weir, which is Robert Duvall's character, about, you know, if we had a child in one bed who had liver cancer, we could clone the liver and they'd be fine. If we had a boy in the next bed with an inoperable brain tumour, we can't, because 30-odd years ago, or decades ago, these frightened scientists in the late 90s said, right, after one failed human clone experiment, said, right, they just panicked and banned it completely. Funnily enough, human cloning is actually banned, but I didn't look into that, but it is actually banned, believe it or not. Or at least it kind of, to a point. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll get somebody on your podcast who's like, human cloning happened to me.
No doubt. That's next to come up.
Yeah, I'd listen to that. So we find later on, and he gives that speech, and you think, because he jumps in to kind of help Dr. Weir, who's clearly not as politically adept as he is, but then the House of the Speaker comes up to him, and he's like,
Well, that fucking speech, right, that was the most, it was a shit speech, it made no sense.
No, but he did it on, so this is the thing I was getting to, he does it on purpose, he knows the Speaker of the House is the guy who comes up to him and says, my son has an inoperable tumor of the brain, and it made me change my mind about it.
So he did that on purpose.
He's like manipulated him, and he like says it later on, like in 3 or 4 years, 2 or 3 years tops, I'll control enough votes in Congress, in the Senate, however it works, their parliament, to be able to change the laws. And then, you know, because it's all on edge for them, that if they find out there's clones, particularly Drucker himself, you lose everything, because a clone can't own property, can't run businesses, because they're essentially not a person. So, yeah, funnily enough, it's for a film that's quite actiony and quite a 90s film, well, late 90s kind of action film, and an Arnie film, there's some deep kind of things in there. Like, it's not pushed right to the forefront, like, you can probably just watch it and enjoy it. But it does give you stuff to talk about, which I quite like. But I'd never noticed that before, because before I thought, oh, he's just off the cuff saying, well, look, here's the reality of it. How can you say to one boy, yeah, we can buy his family, yeah, we can save your kid. But you say to the kid in the next bed, no, I'm sorry, we can't, because frightened politicians 30-odd years ago panicked and said no. But
if you look into it, if you delve deep into it, it's a strange one, because it's not actually you. So if I get myself cloned and I've got my guy next to me, it's still me. I'm not going to be here. It's just going to be someone. It's just someone else with your like brain, with your memories. That's it. So that's still the person still dies. That's what I don't understand. So this congressman guy, right? He wants to clone his son because his son's dying. His son is still going to die. It's still his son dying. It just means that it's very selfish, because that is just to make sure that you feel happy, because he's not dead anymore. And it's just like, I don't like it.
Yeah, well, this comes.
I'm getting into it.
No. But it's a good point, because the film actually addresses it. To be fair to it, later on you get Dr. Weir's wife Catherine. They find out. We'll come to why, but she find out she's dying essentially, and with this kind of childhood disease. Well, I'll get on to that in a bit, because it informs the plot. But she's dying, and then she reveals, you know, Catherine died 5 years ago. Griffin, which is his first name. I've had my time's already passed. Like, these aren't my memories, they're hers. So like, she has like an existential thing of, well,
yeah,
I've had 5 extra years, you know, type thing. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go. Please don't bring me back. So she recognizes, like, it's not me. But that then, which is too deep for us, but, like, that then it goes into the thing of, well, what makes a person? Like, Arnie says it a few times, and does, like, does he have a soul? Like, it's all about the soul.
Yeah.
What makes a person a person? Like, is it your physical? Is it physically you? Or is it your mind? Is it your memories? Is it your love? Is it that's what the film's essentially talking about, really. But it's got this fantastic action film on the top of it, because it goes into these arguments that we're having about, you know, if you could, I mean, just look, not that I'm going to get into it, but just look at some of the things they're talking about chips being implanted in your brain so that you can interface with, you know, internet better, and it gets rid of having to tap on a phone or a laptop or whatever, or take that further on into download. And, you know, it thing means that question of, like, how far do you go with, how far can technology go? And also this film, who's in charge of that technology? Who decides who lives and who dies? And
who comes back and who doesn't?
Well, exactly, because the poor people are going to come back. So then it goes all into the kind of, and I know America don't tend to look into class as much as we do, but they've got it class, same as everywhere else. So yes, yeah, so it would go down to that. But then, I mean, there's some positives of it, so they can clone fish and clone wheat, and they've solved a lot of, like, poverty and hunger, which makes sense.
Yeah, because they said about the fish. They said the fish as well. They said it was going to, the fish was dying out, and it wasn't their technology. We'd have died of starvation, sort of things. It has good properties, but then it also has some moral properties in the background.
But it always informs, like, he's probably keeping governments in power, this guy, and in different countries and all sorts. There's always, doesn't matter how much carrot there is, there's always a stick. You know, there's always something else behind it, isn't there? There might be the good side of it, but there's always, not that I'm not getting into the conspiracies of it, but there's, you know, that's the thing, isn't it? So going back to the film, they get killed, all the people on the chopper get killed. Adam, who's then been going to get his pet cloned, or at least he's thinking about it. He wakes up. Shit, Oliver, why did you have to die? That's dreadful.
I don't know, why did you have to die? Fuck knows.
And the guy's like, hey, wake up, we're here. And Adam's fallen asleep in the taxi because it's his birthday and his dog dies and he's getting old. And then he goes, Yeah, goes into the repet, and the guy's like, we still can't make your mind up, huh? And seems to have met him before. And I like the fact that the exposition in the film feels quite natural in terms of he says to him, like, if sync awnings are that easy for pets, why don't, which is like taking your memories, essentially like a memory copy. Why don't we do humans? And he said, well, the experiment in the 90s failed. Politicians outlawed it. And then he sees the Simpal Cindy. I'm Simpal Cindy. What's your name? And he's
fucking
like,
fucking freaked me out. Oh,
yeah.
Thing.
The face. I know.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is the most popular toy in the fucking world. Fuck no. That thing's going to eat you. That's going to kill you during your sleep.
Yeah.
It's fucking mental. Imagine that waking up and that standing at the doorway with a light behind it and you're just like, you see a silhouette and it's like, what the fuck? I'll be like,
will you?
Yeah. Fuck off.
Will you sing with me? Well, there's a bit where they shoot its head off and then throw the head out the window.
I know, like, it's still talking.
Yeah. Oh, I have a boo-boo. There are some pretty daft bits in it, but what do you want? And then Arnie's like, says to the guy in the repet shop, like, I might be back. And the guy's like, you'll be back. I was like, yeah, we like it. Get it in there.
Get it in.
He goes and buys Simpal Cindy. He then goes home, and this is where he walks up the path. And he's like, Clara, honey, or whatever her name is, like, Oliver passed away, and she's like, why, Daddy? And then that's when he's like, shit, Oliver, why did you have to die? And then Oliver runs up to the gate and, like, starts barking, and he's like, Oliver, I can't do it, you can't.
He's talking, he's like, Oliver.
And he goes back up to, like, for some reason, he doesn't go in, because he hears them singing Happy Birthday. He looks through the window, and he sees a clone of himself at his own birthday party, eating his own cake, kissing his own wife. He's not happy. This is when Terry Crews turns up in his film debut.
Is that his film debut, is it?
Film debut, yeah, Terry Crews,
wow.
Yeah. So these are like Drucker's assassins or thugs. Sarah Wintner is there as well as Talia. She played Kate Warner in 24. And then you get Rodney Rowland, who's done a lot of American television, who plays... is it Wiley, the one who keeps getting killed? Well, there's a lot of deaths in this. Like,
I thought that guy was, I can't remember his name. He's Deacon Frost from Blade. What was his name?
Oh, no, that's not him. I know you mean, though. Oh.
I thought it was him to start with, to be honest. But then I looked at it. I did a bit of IMDb searching and went, oh, no, it's not him.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the guy's name was.
Stephen Dorff. Dorff, is that him?
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
That's him. I thought it was him.
From Blade. No, very similar looking, though.
Yeah.
Very similar looking. They essentially say to Adam, like, when he, like, they zap him and off you go. And then they take the doll as well. Because essentially they need to kill one of them because he's got, the other clone's got home. So it's like, right, well, we need to kill you. Because all the way through the film, we think we're following the real Adam. But we find out later on that we're not. We follow the clone. For the majority of the film, which is spoilers, and then the film has got a good sense of humor, like where he's like, will you be my mommy? He's like, I don't want to be your mommy. Like he's like shouting at the dog.
He's like, shut up. He's like, I don't want to be your mommy. Okay, calm yourself down, mate. Jesus Christ, something you want to talk about?
Yeah, and you've got Terry Crews trying to like turn it off, like trying to find like a button or something.
Yeah, they just shoots it in the face.
Yeah, throws the head out the window. God, yeah, that's going to be pretty horrifying for the fucking neighbours, isn't it? Just look out, there's a child's head
bouncing down the road, speaking
singing
shells.
A song. Yeah. Yeah. decent car chase as well, some good stunt work in there. I think they chase him around all the places because he steals his own Cadillac. It's like, shit, the wife's like, shit, they took the minivan. He's like, no, they took my Cadillac.
I like the bit with the ramp down the stairs when you have the SUV behind it, the Cadillac in the front, they're ramping off the stairs and stuff.
But yeah, cool. It's good. I think that must be somewhere in Vancouver because it looks very much like a university or something, doesn't it?
Although you do actually see how shit American houses are because they just fucking plow through it.
Yeah.
Drive straight through somebody's front room and come out the other side and they're fine. And you're like, guys, America, right? People in America, start building your houses with bricks. Don't build them with wood anymore. We're in 2023, guys. Come on, switch on.
Yeah, in this film, it's less drywall, more drivewall.
That's that crazy sense of humour, the witty sense of humour I've been missing.
Yeah, fucking dreadful. Again, as we said earlier, Dr. Weir, Griffin Weir, is played by Robert Duvall, who I love him in Deep Impact, and he's been an absolute all-sort. He always brings something good to the table. They've cloned his wife, Catherine, who's played by Wanda Cannon. Again, like Arnie and his wife, Adam's wife, I think their scenes, even though there's not a lot of them, like the chemistry is clearly there. Great. Like you believe there's some, like, you know, a man and wife who've been together for like 50 odd years. Like that's quite impressive because it's not, I know they're actors and it's kind of the point, but it doesn't very often, it doesn't get sold to you. Sometimes you think, I don't believe this, but I believe it with them. And I just think, it was good. So this is where we get the cloned speech. Adam, of course, the Speaker of the House was played by the late Ken Pogue, who was pretty good. Adam goes to the police station. Because he swan dives into the river, survives, goes to the police to report that he's been cloned, and they obviously think he's a Fruit Loop.
Yeah. You know what's funny is when they start chatting, when he sits there, he goes, I've been cloned, and all of a sudden it comes up as a lawyer pops up. And he goes, you don't need to answer that. Have you stolen your own car? And he goes, no, I've been cloned. And all of a sudden the psychiatrist hologram pops up.
She's like, loading clinical psychologist.
Yeah, and it comes up and goes, how was your relationship with your parents?
It's like German, isn't it? It's like German as well. It's like, I hear that you are avoiding questions about your father, my mother and father.
Yeah, he says, he goes, we have two pigeons walking down the street. What do you like? Shut up. Shut up, please.
I once looked to a tree and I saw two doves. Shut up. Yeah. And he just pulls this like really sassy face and goes away. So he gets detained at the police station. The guy who detains him, I think, was his brother-in-law, something like that. Died of a heart attack a couple of years after the film, which is a shame. But he's an actual like family to Arnie, which I read in the trivia. Then Wiley and Talia get cloned because Talia was shot in the neck by Wiley because he's an idiot. He keeps
That's a hell of a hit.
Oh yeah, right to the neck. And then Wiley ends up flying, like Arnie breaks, he flies over his and he runs over him.
Twice, the two cars just run over him. That's going to hurt.
Well, the guy even goes, ooh, doesn't he? Like the main guy.
He comes over and goes, ooh.
She's just annoyed. This is another thing I like about the film, is that when the characters get recloned, they're not like, oh my God, I've been cloned, I've died again. They're like, oh shit. Like, I spent so much on those hair. Like, do you know how much I spent on those hair treatments? Got to pierce my goddamn ears again. Oh, the guy who gets his foot blown off later on, he's like, you son of a bitch, those are brand new boots. Like, and you're like,
they don't give a shit, do they? The thing is, what I liked about the film as well is when they come back, they still feel their injuries for when they died. You know, the guy that got run over, we talked about there, he sits and he goes, I can't breathe, I've got a really tight chest. And he goes, no, because you got run over, that's how you died. And he goes, it's all in your head, don't worry about it. And that's quite an interesting fact, because that's real, that is. You know what I mean? It's like...
it's like psychosomatic, isn't it?
It's all weird. And I'm like, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And later on, of course, when he gets his neck broken, he's like, and they're like, that was your old neck. This is your new neck. Get it?
This is your new neck. Get it?
Yeah. Did like those scenes. They talk about killing in like the lab, and Dr. Weir's like shocked that they're talking about killing people. And the main guy's like, well, of course we won't, but we threaten it. I like that bit later on, because Robert Duvall plays it brilliantly. There's a brilliant scene between him and the main guy. The main villain, where he's like, I've looked too far. I've looked the other way too much, too often. Because, like, sometimes it's still... Yeah, like, he knows, but... again, with the Wiley thinking, like, it's hard to breathe. Oh, yeah, he kills... Arnie escapes from the police station. I love the way he gets out of that room. Gets the coin, dents it, scratches a big circle in the mirror, smashes it. Love that. He runs... I love how he walks out the police station. This is what I like. I liked, like... the visual flair of the film, in that like it's got a bit of slow-mo, bit of like rock music as he walks out the police station, And then he like literally bumps, like walks right into Wiley, breaks his neck. I love that bit where they're like, no, I've got a pulse. Real strong.
Yeah, he goes, I think he's dead. And his neck's fucking hanging off and his tongue's hanging out. He goes, I think he's, no, he's fine. He's pushing his tongue back in. And he's lifting him up and his neck's flopping to the side and he's pushed his head back up. Yeah. He goes, no, he'll be back to normal in no time. He's fine.
Yeah. Well, that the same with Johnny Phoenix at the beginning. He takes a hit. That's the bit. He takes a hit, gets his neck broken. And they say, oh, we've got a lifetime contract with a vegetable. I think that's a verbatim quote. And then he's like, you're going to have to take one for the team. Pulls the plug, literally and figuratively. And he dies. And then it's like, the next day, it's like, the report's like, hey, Johnny, that was a tough knock you took last week. And it's like, oh, yuck. Like, oh, I'm fine, yeah. Because that guy runs up and he's like, because clearly it's the future, so they must have like trackside x-ray or something. And he's like, his sixth vertebrae is crushed. He's like, oh, I don't think it's as bad as you think. Yeah, I'm like,
he's all right. He walk it off. Walk it off, buddy.
Walk it off, son. It's a lot of neck breaks.
There's a lot of neck breaks in there, isn't it?
A lot of neck breaks. A lot of being shot through. Like, it's always, nobody gets shot and dies instantly. Apart from the people through the head. It's all like shots through livers, shot through stomach, shot through neck, shot through the foot.
Through the foot. There's shot the leg.
Hank finally gets home and he's like, I don't know what happened. Because it's like really late at night. He's like, I don't know what happened. He goes home to his virtual girl with her virtual assets. And the fact, I'd forgotten they had that scene where he's literally like there and she's like, the robe's up and she's like literally like, got all lover dubs in his face. I was like, I do not remember that. And then Adam goes to his house. Well, goes to see Hank. Hank gets killed because. Oh no, sorry, no. He goes to meet Hank, and then he goes to his house with Hank. And Adam wants to kill the clone to take his life back. And he like proves to Hank that, oh, it's really me. Like, look, there's the shaving cut.
Yeah.
And he can't bring himself to kill his like clone. And I love the way he's like, I mean, technically this could be committing suicide. Adam and his wife are having a stogie, a cigar. Smoking's illegal. And because I love a bit later on where he's like, come on, man, you know what tobacco does to people. As if, like, the retroactive...
Fucks you up, supposedly, yeah.
Yeah. Well, some of them are fucked, yeah. So, it's like, what do they do? He's like, I had to look away when you and your wife were... And he's like, oh, in my goddamn minivan.
In my goddamn minivan.
Smoked your stogie, yeah. Smoked your stogie, too.
What would you do if you saw yourself banging your wife? You'd be like, that's technically someone else, isn't it?
He seems more pissed off that he smoked his cigar. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Well, they're illegal, aren't they? They're illegal, so they're probably hard to get. I would be pissed off.
Yeah.
You get a wife anywhere, really, to be fair. You can't get these cigars in many places.
It's true, yeah. It's a nice virtual chair. I love the music in the film, by the way. It's by Trevor Rabin, who did some unbelievable... Like, I've picked about 6 or 7 films that you'll know, but he's done unbelievable amount of films. He did Con Air with Mark Mancia, who did the...
Great music in the film.
He, on his own, he did Armageddon, Deep Blue Sea, Bad Boys 2. He did Jack Frost. I love that film. He's done, honestly, I went through his, I couldn't believe the films he'd done. Because it's not a name that springs to mind. It's like Danny Elfman or Hans Zimmer, but he's done some classic things.
Banging 90s ones as well.
Yeah. They get out of there and they go back to Hank's. After Adam puts, I think it's Clara, like his daughter comes out and he
puts her bed or that sort of shit, yeah.
Because it does have quite like an emotional like through line through the film, doesn't it? That he's essentially doing this for his family because he thinks it's his family anyway.
Yeah.
And then Trip shows up and kills Hank, just shoots him. To be fair, actually, yeah, there's a shot where he dies straight away.
Although I do like the guns.
I
do like the guns in this film, though. To be fair, it's like fucking, it's like a cross between something out of like, in a, I don't know, like Star Wars and stuff like that, isn't it, with the lasers.
A Terminator, maybe? A little bit
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, maybe Terminator sort of stuff, yeah. Although, I'm not impressed with the muzzle flash. The muzzle flash comes out this fucking top, out the sides, which is incredibly dangerous. That's why it goes out the front, so you don't get fucking shot in the face with that stuff, you know?
Well, there you go, then.
Go back to my military days.
Yeah. You're RAF, right?
That was, yeah.
There you go. Trip shoot. No. Yeah, so Adam's not dead. Hank's dead, sorry.
He's all kinds of fucked up, straight to the chest as well. That's a belter.
Yeah, it's a beaut. Through the window, I love the fact he shoots through the window first. There's some good flair in it, I like it. And he comes in, he explains to, and he's like, Hank Morgan was an abomination to God. And he's like, what? And he says, he says he was a clone. And he's like, I know because I killed him, which is always a good line. He killed everyone on the excursion. And then he sees clones as an abomination to God and ends up in a fight with Adam, and he shoots. Adam ends up shooting him through, like, again, through the liver or the stomach, intestine, something like that. Although he's like, gasping away. And he's like, shoot me in the head. I've got people in Drucker's lab. They'll be killed if they scan my head. It's like, shoot me in the head. God forgive me. Is that done? Then Adam shoots off the main assassin's foot, and he's only asked about his shoes. Standard. Weir's wife, like, she's tending to her flowers and she collapses. And, like, I thought that was a really good reaction. Like, because he's a doctor, obviously, and he's like, telling her to stay calm. Like, he doesn't overreact. He's like, stay so calm. And he's like, and then they go to a different clinic, like, not his clinic, and find out she's got cystic fibrosis. And obviously, the hospital are absolutely, the clinic are like, this doesn't make sense. It's a childhood disease and she'd have died 30 years ago. I think cystic fibrosis does still have, like, I think it's life limiting, unfortunately. I think they've done a lot towards it, but I still think it's life limiting, unfortunately. And the clinic are like, we don't understand this. We're doing the scan again. It must be a mistake. Because they do DNA scans, which I quite like. Good idea. And he's like, oh, I'll take her back to the clinic. And she says, like, I don't want to come back. Like, I've had my time. Which is, again, like, a lovely scene in terms of the acting. And, again, just keeps the emotions in there. So there's stuff to invest in this film. Like, if it had bombed because it was just daft. Like, because for me, I think they might have marketed this wrong. Because, of course, if you make a film and Arnie's being cloned, of course you're going to market it. But it's not about that. Like, there's only a few scenes towards, like, the back end of the film. Like, is this a good 2 hours? It takes about an hour and a half before they actually meet up, if not a bit later.
So I guess as well, they had ample opportunity to make this stupid as hell as well. They could have went down the stupid route, but they didn't really go down the stupid route. They went down the kind of moral sort of compass route sort of thing. And it does make you think a little bit after it. You're like, ooh, I'm thinking about an Arnie film. This is not right.
Yeah. See, I don't recommend crap. And then, so Weir goes back. So she dies. Weir goes back to his clinic and does scans, checks the DNA of all the other clones, apart from Adam. We'll come to that. And he finds out that Drucker has been putting congenital defects into the clones, such as, like, liver cancer, cystic fibrosis, and giving these clones like 1 to 5 years limited lifespans. And he's like, what have you done that? He's like, and he confronts him, and that's probably the best scene in the film, where he's like, what have you done this for? It's like, you gave my wife cystic fibrosis. He's like, I didn't realise it was a mistake. Like, clone her again, it'd be fine. And he's like, no, I love my wife so much, I promise never to bring her back. That was a great bit. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to give you a great gift. I'm going to bring her back. I'm going to save your marriage. And he shoots him through the head. Just like,
yeah, because he drops a bombshell saying that he did it because he wanted to have leverage over them, sort of thing. You say he did it with a football player because instead, if he wanted more money, he could just fucking bin him off and get another one. You know what I mean? He could die and all that sort of stuff. And that's what he did with his wife and that, to get leverage over him so he doesn't go beyond his station and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, you think you think it's not a mistake?
No, not a mistake at all. He said that in the film, didn't he? He did it because he is a leverage over the people, like for people who, let's say, like he said with the American footballer, he goes, what happens if he wants more money, sort of thing, you know what I mean? We put a failsafe in there that he's not going to last any longer, so he can't judge us for getting us more money. He did it to Robert De Niro's missus, in case Robert De Niro decides to get second thoughts and a little bit more uppity or starts getting a little bit too big for his boots. They'll say, now we put that in there because you still need us, sort of thing. You know what I mean? If you try and shut us down, you still need us.
Yeah. Well, he does try and shut him down. And he's like, I'm going to bring you back and you won't remember this. And you're going to be with your wife. And yeah, it's like really, like, sounds good, but it's twisted. really twisted. The dogs from Resident Evil turn up. So they go to the house, try and find the wife and daughter because they realise at this point we need a bit of leverage. And they're at Clara's like dance recital.
Yeah, they find out from a smart fridge, which we do have. Yeah. They've seen it. That's it. That's true.
Yeah. And then they corner them with dogs that are like presumably cloned. But they've got like a smartphone type thing.
They've got like an iPhone. They're just controlling these dogs with an iPhone. It's fucking weird, man.
Terry Crews is like, this is the only thing stopping the dogs from tearing her apart. Like, get in the van. I tell you what, they certainly predicted as well, correctly. Irritating automated calls.
Yes, that's true. They did.
Beautiful insight there, Ryan. Thank you. And
I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about there. Automated
when he,
calls,
when he calls the police and he's like, are you in danger?
Yeah. Right, yeah. And he goes, are you in danger right now? Yes.
And he gets right. Like, yes, yes. Yeah.
My wife has been kidnapped. That's a rubbish impression there, could you tell?
Yeah. I think you've come off the best in this one, fair.
I don't know.
Arnie then clocks his own clone straight in the kisser. He's like, that's for sleeping with my wife in the goddamn minivan.
That goddamn minivan.
Again, more asked about the car. Like, it's like, it doesn't matter where the location was.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Added emphasis. Lazy writing.
I'm going to have to clean the leather. I like you get a bit of background as to why, because partly the way through this, because they don't tell you he's a fighter pilot. There's a few bits where they like imply he's been in the military.
You can tell he's got a little bit of backstory. You can tell because he's talked about it a lot of time. And then the bad guys say something about it as well, don't they, when they do a little bit of background check on him?
Yeah, because he's proper kick-ass, and I was thinking, this film could lose people if they think, well, this is just Arnie being Arnie, but they actually take the time to build it in that he took part in the Rainforest War, which I thought, to be fair, was a bit of a sneaky wink to Predator, if I'm honest. I think they were although there's a few films like Collateral Damage where he ends up in the rainforest. He loves, whenever he gets a script with the rainforest, he's like, I'm in. The two Adams then team up, which is pretty cool. Oh, yeah, this is where we get the great scene between Duvall and Goldwyn, where he's like, oh, I love the book. He's like, don't start with sorry. I was like, oh, yes, this is going to be good. And he's like, I didn't mean to hurt her. He's like, oh, didn't hurt her, just killed her. and this is, again, where Weir quits and says, well, if I can't bring her back, I'm not bringing anyone back ever. Like, that's how much I loved her. And he's like, yeah, well, I can't allow you to do that. Shoot him in the face. Yeah. Adam turns up at the headquarters, at the big building. Adam gets cornered after he takes out loads of the security cameras and all sorts. And he surrenders. And then we find out it's a double cross. Adam and the clone went. And he's like, they faked it so that it would look like he was there on his own.
Yeah,
so he's gone in, like, lay the groundwork to destroy all the cameras and everything. And then he, like, Adam, or the clone, as we think at this point, then can, like, go rescue the family.
Was he the clone all the way? Are we watching the clone all the way through? Because I thought we were still watching the original one all the way through, and the one that was inside was a clone.
No, we follow the clone all the way through, because it's the one we think is Adam who turns up second is the one who wakes up in the taxi. That's the clone, because he can't remember swapping places with Hank. And then he has that thing under his eye, the little yellow dot, which if you've
I thought they swapped places originally, like swapped clothes and stuff, before they got to the tower. Or was that too?
No, I think that's a bit... No, I don't think they did that.
No, did I think too much into that there?
Okay. Yeah, because he says, it's not your life, it's his. Like, you turned up late.
Makes sense, really. Thinking back, makes sense. Yeah.
Because the thing is, because Drucker gets killed, there's a delay in getting him cloned. Because they can do it in 2 hours. So by the time they do it, the real Adam has already been to Repet, got the dog cloned, got the Simpals Indian, come home, and started his birthday party. Whereas the clone, they kind of...
has only just got there, sort of thing,
only
yeah.
Only just got there, yeah, yeah. But he thinks that he's the normal, like he's the regular Adam, and that's the clone. Whereas it's not, but I mean, how would you know? But then it gigs up at the end where Drucker says to him, can you remember everything? Can you remember switching places with your friend? And he can't. He just remembers the SIM card in which is where they back his memories up from.
Right.
And then
working
up the taxi. So, yeah. But then he's like, well, how about a shaving cut? And he's like, oh, they're easily replicated. Annual war wound. Which we don't
on his arm sort of thing. Yeah, that's when you say, when you find out a bit more, he's been in the war.
Yeah. And then, the little dot under your left eye, the yellow dots to say what generation of clone you are. And if you've seen the film, you haven't done that, you're lying to yourself.
I'm not, but I'm going now.
Yeah, there's a scene where Arnie talks to him and he's like, well, who gets to decide who lives and who dies? That you? Because, you know, and...
It doesn't seem like a bad thing.
Yeah, it's like, no, I don't think science is inherently evil. Because he's like, what about God? It's like, oh, you're one of those. He's like, he's like, no, I don't think science is inherently evil, but I think you are.
Ooh, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Oh no, the best line. What's the best line in the whole film, Ryan, that comes up straight after this? Whereas, oh, I think you should go and clone yourself. Why? So I could get your unique perspective.
What the fuck? I can't remember that one.
He's like, no, so you go fuck yourself.
Oh yeah, yes. You go fuck yourself. Yes, it is again at the end, didn't he? He says he goes, when I said go fuck yourself, I didn't mean literally.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. So Adam, well, the clone we think is now the real Adam, saves his wife and kids, gets in the chopper. The chopper. That was a weird, they should have thrown that in there. A Drucker needs cloning because during Adam's, the clone's escape.
The scuffle.
Yeah. Wily again shoots through him. Misses Adam again. Fucking Arnie's huge. How much of a shit shy
are you? Right. The guy sucks.
Fucking tank. If you can't hit Arnie, what are you doing?
Yeah, you just fucking give up.
And then Drucker's clone is incomplete because Adam kills Talia and like hangs her, and she shoots through the glass and it floods like the lab, and the clone's incomplete and looks like...
It looks like he's just been covered in shrink wrap.
Yeah, he looks like a baby when they first come out, except he's kind of covered in kind of clear goop rather than...
Yeah, like, I ever see it like Descent, the Descent. It looks like the monster from Descent.
Yes, yes, he does. Or the monster tank from Creep, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it just looks like he's been covered in shrink wrap and just sprayed with oil.
He's like, aren't you gonna... He starts undressing his own, like, his old body.
He's like, are you not going to wait until I die first? He's like, no, why should I? Give me your fucking clothes.
No, he says, would you? Like,
yeah, that's true. He's like, oh my God, there's a hole in this. God damn it, there's blood on this. And he's kicking off.
Blood on my jacket, yeah.
But he talks perfectly fine. He's like, you think that he didn't, well, when he's testing his clone, he can't find a pulse, but all of a sudden it just becomes alive. And I was expecting one of the disappointing things I was waiting for. I was waiting for all these, like, kind of half-finished clones to start waking up and start fucking terrorizing everyone. I was waiting for that, but it didn't happen.
One of them, like, half wakes up, doesn't it, when he takes the oxygen from the top of it so he doesn't drown.
Yeah, and starts fucking going fucking mental with this. Yeah. Fuck you.
I do love the whole look, the whole, like, visual look of that lab and the clones. Like, this is not a cheap-looking film.
No, definitely not. They must have put people in, like, suits and all that sort of stuff to do that, because that's not prosthetic, surely.
No, I don't think so. I think the Simpal Cindy is a robotic, but
that was obvious.
That, yeah.
If that's someone's kid, well, I'll fucking go to help you.
The face only a mother could love. oh, dear me. Yeah, and then Clona, the lab blows up with the old thermite that they've made. And Clone Adam heads off to Argentina to expand the charter company in Patagonia.
Well, what makes me laugh at the end? He goes, I must leave because of your family. And he's like, it's not my family, it's your family. I'm like, fuck you. You try to take my life, you son of a bitch. Go fuck yourself. You know what I mean?
I mean, if they could have gone the old, like, Ed from Shaun of the Dead and had, you know, the clone Adam living in the shed, but that might have been a bit weird.
I thought the clone was going to stay behind.
Do you think there was just going to be a shot of, like, Arnie on one side of the bed, Arnie on the other side of the bed, the wife in the middle?
she's got a massive smile on her face. I'm going to go, bet you fucking are, love. I'm going to make you fucking walk on crutches for a week. You know? I actually thought the clone was going to stay behind. You know what I mean? Just to kind of nullify the timeline sort of thing and just like stay behind with the bomb gets blown up and he's going to like say, I'm going to stay here to make sure it all goes off or something. You have to relight the fuse. The fuse only got like 10 seconds left before it goes off and he's going to stay behind. They didn't do that, which is quite interesting.
Yeah. Well, they probably would now, wouldn't they, like to neatly tie it up. But I like the fact the film doesn't... I don't think it was sequel baiting, to be honest. I think it was just like a nice...
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But it would be cool if there was a sequel, though. The Seventh Day. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. We made it. Then Arnie's clone comes back from fucking, I don't know, Buenos Aires with a tan and a big fucking bushy beard. And I said, yeah, he's big gangster, he's porn star Tash and a big fucking cigar with his fucking gat. He's mowing down people.
Yeah.
I've come for you, brother. You know what I mean? You missed the fucking trick there, mate, I tell you.
I know. Shame. Well, that's everything I had. I think it's a great film. And if you haven't seen it, I highly, highly recommend that you go check it out.
Do you know what? I've seen it before. I remember seeing this film all the time, all the way through my many, many, many years of life. And I didn't have a chance to see it. I didn't think it would look any good because I think that I was the same. It's like, it's one of those films that didn't look good when it was advertised. They didn't really have that much of an advertising budget there. It was just like, nah. And then, and this is when you actually mentioned, oh, watch The Sixth Day, I was like, oh, it's going to be fucking shit, isn't it? It's going to be one of those fucking shit films. And no, it was a good film. I liked it.
Yeah. Well, I can see why some people might think it's shit, but still a job. I genuinely enjoy it, and I think it's a good balance. I think it doesn't go too far into the stupid, silly action part of it, but it doesn't go too far into the... It's a good balance. You'd never get a film like this now. It'd be shit.
And it's a good story, a good moral story to think about as well, because you have to sit there. And if you do, you could go down a rabbit hole with this subject as well. Find out, you could go into it and say, right, what would you do? What would happen? Would you want to do that to your loved ones? Are they actually the real person? Is it a little bit like fucking Pet Sematary? And they come back and they're fucking crazy? Yeah. You don't know. They start turning to fucking crazy people.
Well, he says that at the beginning, doesn't he, Adam, before like all the cloning business, because he says about the dog, he's like, I don't trust this thing around my daughter with like sharp teeth. And for me, it's like that bit where they come up to the daughter in the school. Like, that's my worst nightmare, that. Sound about dogs.
Dogs with a fucking iPhone.
Got attacked by a dog once. I'm frightened. There's nothing you can do. So you just think. But speaking of the advertising, so apparently Arnie refused to. I'm not sure why, because like I know it happened with Kick-Ass 2 and Jim Carrey, and it's happened a few times over the years. But I don't know why at the time it happened. But Arnie refused to. Like, pause with a gun for the advertising. That's why the advertisement is essentially that.
Yeah, where everyone
knows the film from Arnie's face with the machine over his eyes, and it looked quite futuristic. That's what most people know. He didn't want it to be advertised with him holding a gun, and not even the back cover doesn't have that either. It's like a clone and the main guy, and again, the thing me again. So
I thought it was going to be something that he wanted to steer away from, like, he wanted the story to be told and not just think people think it's an action film.
Well, apparently, according to IMDb, it was apparently because he didn't want to, like, advocate violence, like, he didn't, to kids and stuff, which, I'm like, really?
So much violence in this film.
You're fucking late now. Like,
I know, right?
I do like that line where he steps out of the elevator, he's like, at the top of the building, and he's like, my wife and child is just inside the door. Go past and say, have a nice night, little girl. Tell them a name at least, get it believable. Yeah. And then he's like, I don't want to expose her to any graphic violence. She gets enough from the media.
Ooh. But Arnie's sitting behind going, fucking had you, fucking Fox News in your face.
Yeah.
Giving it some.
So yeah, I mean, I genuinely think it's a good film. And I think it's a shame more people haven't seen it. Because I think there was a few people who commented saying, oh, I watched it, and I saw this years ago, I haven't seen it since. So I think that seems to have been the prevailing. It doesn't seem to have made any kind of, like, cultural impact. It, like, people saw it, and then it was like, eh. Whereas, like, some of the
typical Arnie film, and I think everyone thought it was just going to be, like, a typical Arnie film, same all the time, not fucking changing from the script. People die, he saves the day, job done, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's basically what it is, to be fair.
Yeah, but, you know, it has that bit of emotion and you know, the music kind of plays into that as well.
Yeah.
That it's all about, you know, his family.
There's so many of those films from that era that were like fucking really good films but didn't get the credit they deserved, to be quite honest with you. So many of them.
Collateral Damage again is a brilliant film.
Yeah, he was a bit more serious in that one. I didn't really enjoy that as much, but that wasn't an action film, really. That was more of like a him just a normal guy sort of film, wasn't it? Yeah. And him trying to uncover the truth and find out.
I think he plays a firefighter,
and his wife and kid get blown up or something like that, don't they?
Yeah, by Cliff Curtis. as a terrorist. That film, he goes a bit mad towards the end, but it's not uplifting, if you know what I mean. But there's a few from around that time that he did that just got completely overlooked. Everyone, up until about Terminator 3, everyone was like, oh, this and that. Between, like, True Lies and Terminator 3.
Yeah.
There's a load of films in there that people just kind of ignore. And it's
fucking
like,
True Lies.
You really should. Yeah.
I love True Lies. You know, the funny is that my favouritest quote on cinema history is from True Lies. Is when he sits there and the guys are sitting there, and the terrorists, right, probably towards the end in the third act, and they're videoing the guy, and the guy's getting videoed, and the terrorist guy, he's the boss man, and he's going, we will be here, we will blow up every city each week until you meet our demands, and the cameraman just does that, and you can see it from his perspective, and you see the little flashing battery light flashing on and off, and the camera goes down, and the boss man goes, what are you doing? And just goes, the guy just turned around and goes, Batteries. And he goes, well, get some more then. I fucking love that. It's Batteries.
Outstanding. I haven't seen that for years. I can't remember a thing. It's one of those films where I think I must have seen it as a kid, but I can't remember a damn thing. I've got it. I think my auntie got it for me for...
It's when armies... He went all kinds of fucking OP fucking... On that, he must have took the piss in that film about stupid stuff that he's done. You know what I mean? He's flying a fucking Harrier jump jet through a building and all that sort of shit. And the bad guy gets hung, like he catches the bad guy in one of the missiles on the side. And he can't remember what the one liner he says. And he presses the button, the jet flies off, and the bad guy goes off with it and gets blown up. Fucking mental, ridiculous.
Yeah, it reminds you of The Rock, where he's like...
The Rock, yeah.
You ever heard the film Rocket Man?
He goes, I don't listen to that pussy-ass shit.
Oh, because it's you. It's Tony Todd, isn't it? It's like, oh, it's you.
He's a candy man, wasn't he?
You heard the Rocket Man? Yeah. You know, I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the originals. I know they made a new one just recently, haven't they? But I've not had a chance to watch it. But the originals are really cool. It was during the time of, like, you know, when they made every horror film, they made, like, fucking, like, seven of them. Of the same sort of like franchise, like back in the 80s and 90s and stuff. It was like Halloween, even that era. Yeah, Freddy and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Fucking Nightmare on Elm Street and all that. It's like, all right, Nightmare on Elm Street 32. Freddy comes back. Oh, come on, man. He's taking a piss now, isn't he? He's about fucking 70 years old now.
Yeah, literally. Oh, it's been a blast as ever. Would you like to tell everybody where you're from and where they can find your podcast?
Of course I can. I am. Ryan here. From the Walk the Line podcast, and it's available everywhere, to be honest. If you just type it in, you can go into the website, thewalkthelinepodcast.com. It's down for maintenance right now because I'm revamping it. But when it's back up and ready, you'll be able to see everything. You'll see blog posts about podcasting. You'll be able to see, get some merch and all that sort of stuff there. Thinking about doing a little kind of Patreon, but I'm not sure yet to see how it goes. But please join it if it do. But yeah, real stories on real people, guys. Have a listen to it. There's some belters on there which will... basically make you laugh, smile and cry at the same time.
It's true.
That is true.
There
that
are
is true.
Some buttes. There's some absolute buttes. Yeah, you might need your tin hat for a couple of them, but you'll enjoy it.
Couple of them. Tell you what, wait till you see what's coming up next. Oh, there you go. I've done one. I did basically online nightmares, part 3 coming up in the next couple of weeks, which is a belter, which is going to be good. This one's going to be proper. Yeah, this is the best one yet, I think. So have a listen to that.
Well, I've massively enjoyed number one too, so I'm looking forward to three. So
yeah, the third one. It's on the knife edge. Let's put it that way.
Well, I look forward to that one. Yeah. So go over there and check out Ryan's podcast. It's absolutely brilliant. Ryan, to give a bit of history for this podcast, Ryan was the first ever guest that I had. He is responsible for this. not the whole thing, but he's responsible for me having guests and having my regulars because I started off on my own. Didn't think I'd ever have guests, didn't know how to approach people, didn't have a clue. And Ryan was very, very kind in terms of helping, you know, a bit of advice in helping about what to do, this, that, and the other. And was like, well, I'll come on and have a chat. And yeah, we did Die Hard.
Yeah, we did Die Hard trilogy, didn't we? We did the first one, then two and three, yeah.
Yeah, I never got to four.
Didn't get to. We don't do four. Four. But I did. Hey, no, be funny, mate. I just gave the idea, buddy. You ran with it. You went with what you've made so far is all on you. I just gave you a little bit of tips, mate. But as I say, if there's anyone listening out there who wants a bit of help with their podcast, and I've been doing this for 4 years, I know some ins and outs of some bits and pieces how to do stuff. Give us a shout. More than happy to help you guys out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just over 2 years in myself, 2 years, 2 months. So 3 days. I'm joking. I know one of these. So if anyone else here is listening, you've got a film podcast or you'd like to be a guest, reach out. We're on Twitter. It's @yourselfreview. We're also on Instagram. I say we, it's me. Instagram @reviewyourselfpodcast2021. I'm Sean, the host. It's the podcast with the sigh. No politics, no pandering. Absolutely no point. And I know I don't say it very often, but thank you to you for listening and giving up your time for listening to this podcast. I know my episodes run around about an hour. On average, this might be a bit longer, might be a bit less. Don't know how much is going to get cut out. But I do appreciate you listening. I listen to podcasts myself, not very many of them, because they take a lot of time to listen to, and it is a commitment. So I do thank you for listening to this. That'll do. I can't do all that. But I do genuinely thank you for listening. And if you can rate or review somewhere, please do. Give it 1 star. I'm not bothered. At least tell me why. At least, you know, fair in that way. But any interaction is greatly appreciated. Cheers, everyone. Thanks, Ryan.
Pleasure, mate.
Welcome to Shatsunami, a variety podcast that discusses topics from gaming and films to anime and general interests.
Previously on Shatsunami, we've analysed what makes a good horror game, conducted a retrospective on Pierce Brosnan's run as James Bond, and listened to us take deep dives into both the Sonic and Halo franchises.
Also, if you're an anime fan, then don't forget to check us out on our sub-series, Shatsunani, where we dive into the world of anime. So far, we've reviewed things like Death Note, Princess Mononoke, and the hit Beyblade series.
If that sounds like your cup of tea, then you can check us out on Spotify, iTunes, and all good podcast apps.
As always, stay safe,
stay awesome, and most importantly,
stay hydrated.